Before the break, we have seen what exactly we should be confessing as Christians. And when we talk about confessing, you realize that it is not just a mere confession on paper. It must be a confession from the heart. You know, this involves faith. This, of course, involves trust. This involves conviction. And that is why it is important to note that when the writer of Hebrews talk about this confession that we ought to have, he wants us to know that this confession must be a consistent and a persistent confession. It must not be one which is half-hearted, but we must do our very best to cling on to that which is precious and not let go. And that is exactly the picture behind the word hold fast right here. Right? Let us hold fast the profession of our faith. And then he adds, without wavering. Without wavering means without diverting from a particular path. And here is written as a supplement, right, to the word hold fast, right? So you cling on to something. Firstly, that's the first picture. The other picture that we ought to have is, well, you know that this is the path that you must take. Well, do not divert yourself away from the path, right? Keep on the same path and stay on it. And this, dear friends, will be the test for you in life. The test for you in life would be, well, when things seem uncertain, will you therefore cling on to that which is certain? And that is God and His precious word. And to do so, right, without a heart that is double-hearted, you know, there is, well, maybe I want one leg in this boat and then I want another leg in another boat. And when you realize that you have such a spirit in you, well, can a man have legs in two boats? Obviously not, right? You will surely collapse. So how we are confessing is extremely important. When we, firstly as an individual, and secondly as a community, do so, then you will realize that there will be much joy and peace and stability despite the winds that blow. And I pray, dear friends, that you will form these convictions even right now in your young age. Because very soon, you'll be tested even beyond your place of study. Now, some of you, you are already tested. The fact that you all are subjected to diverse temptations, diverse fears, is God asking you this question in the midst of all these things. Will you continue to cling on to me? Will you continue to be faithful to me just as how I was faithful to you? And after that, right, based upon how we exercise our faith, right, the answer will be made known. Through that situation, the Lord will show us exactly how mature our faith is. How do you know whether or not a person is truly professing or confessing the faith? Well, by the decisions and the actions that a person would take in life. Right now, as young people, this will be shown in how you handle your assignments, how you relate to your friends in school, how you conduct yourselves at home, and also how you conduct yourself in church. This morning, you have just heard a message from God's Word brought to you by Reverend Samuel Joseph. Without looking at your books, what is the title? Treasures in heaven, right? Lay not for yourself treasures upon the earth, but of course you're supposed to lay treasures up in heaven. Now this is what we are supposed to confess. You know, right? Then after that you go to school and then, well, things start to soar. Firstly, you have friends that come to talk to you and say, hey, you know, very soon the exams are coming, you know. Yeah, but you know, all work but no play makes life very dull. You become a plain Jane or Dajo. So, hey, come, let's have some fun. Let's go out to this pub and then let's drink, let's party. And because these friends are very close to you, your heart is tempted. And then these friends has been, the Lord has initially allowed these friends to be very vital in your school life because they are friends that have helped you with your work. And then you develop a close relationship with them. And now they come and say this to you. I say, no, I cannot go. Don't be naive. Next time you are going to go to the workplace, right? And then we are people from the business faculty. Who here are from business faculty? Anybody? Business faculty? One, right? No, not really business. Computing. Anyone from business? No, nobody from business. But anyway, it's not just those who are in the school of business, but you know, almost in every field. Well, next time you go to work, you got to seal a deal. Hey, come on. Everybody will be drinking to seal a deal. You must have some form of social drinking. You can't even drink. How can you survive? So they keep tugging your heartstrings. Finally, instead of clinging on to what you should know from God's word, the principle here is lay not up for yourselves, right, treasures upon the earth, but in heaven, right? And what does it mean? Just now, Reverend Samuel Joseph explained to you, all right? What does it mean? We have a scribe here. What does it mean? Right. Okay, Clyde. My good friend Clyde. What does it mean? No, it doesn't matter. So how do you lay up treasures in heaven?
By obeying God.
Yeah, obeying God and His Word, right? Have it God's Word as a priority. And God says do not compromise by getting yourselves involved with alcoholic drink or with all kinds of vices just to have some gain in life. Right? Because you talk about sealing of business contracts. Behind it actually is what? People take part in social drinking also because of what? Love of money. Not to seal a business contract. You don't drink, no business contract. So, but now already you're tested in school. You know, your friends, they give you this reasoning. Hey, come on, don't be naive. Surely you know, right? Come, drink with us. If you cannot pass this test with us, surely you cannot pass this test next time when you go out to work. That's how they present it to you. Actually, the real test is whether or not you are prepared to stand your ground with your friends and profess that my best friend in life is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that I was cling on to. This is the certain way in which I must go. And I cannot go this way. But no, in the end, because it's presented in this way, you fail to cling on to the faith, and then after that you go. And once you go, by the way, once you go, you realize that you will keep going. And you start to fall. That is this compromise, you see. So things like this, right, will come to you even in school. And even in things like how you approach your work, how you articulate your philosophy of work. Right? So for example, why are you studying so hard in school? Right? Everybody knows how to say that, oh, it's because I serve a risen Savior, that's why I study very hard. But practically, when you do your work, how do you show forth this trust in the Lord as you do your work? Do the friends see you as doing your work so hard because you want dollars and cents? Well, surely in some ways, as you have your conversation with your friends, you begin to mention a lot of things about how doing this course or maybe pursuing certain subjects, right, in university will allow you to have better prospects in work. Then you think, hey, actually, my friend is not different from me. And then you have wavered in your confession of faith. Right. So take note, right, of these things, right? It is important. But as young people, one advantage that you all have is that, well, the burdens of life are still not as great. I don't know whether you all would take it from an adult. You all say, hey, I'm an adult. What do you mean? You are adult, I'm not adult. What I mean is somebody who has gone through life a little more. The burdens right now that you all face are still just a foretaste of what is going to come. And one thing for sure, this body of yours is not going to get any younger, it's going to get older, and one day you all will know what is called physical weakness. Because sometimes young people, they see the adults. How come the adults don't know how to conduct themselves according to God's word? They have not helped on to the confession of faith. Seems like they have become lovers of money, lovers of the world. I must not be like them. How can they be like this? Young people, do you all have this kind of thoughts in your heart before? I'm sure you all do. This is common among youth. Just brimming with energy. The adult's problem is that they use the excuse, you know, I'm so many aches and pains in the body. Young people, of course they can, because they're full of energy. I'm now older, so never mind, a little compromise is good. Take note, when you get older, you may be just like that. Now you say that you are not a lover of money. This is what you confess with your lips. Not sure whether it's with the heart. And maybe it's with the heart right now. Perhaps as you start off, you begin work, you really do not consider so much about money. You make sure that you give off the first fruit of the Lord, and then in the beginning you really work hard, not really looking at what you have received at work, but just wanting to do your best for the Lord. As time goes by, two things can occur. Number one, firstly, uncertain world, trade tariffs. Now business is bad. There's a threat for you, a threat looming over your head that you may lose your job. Now you are married. Now you have a family. Now you have children. The word is now going out that you are going to be retrenched. Were you therefore let go? That's the meaning of hold fast. No, you must cling on to it and not let go. And it's consistent. Will you therefore divert your path? You know, the heart of a pastor oftentimes bleeds when he sees a youth that seems to be so zealous and having a certain profession of faith in his youth. And he can tell that the youth, when he was young, was sincere. As he goes up, goes through life, by the time you reach the young adult, suddenly starts to have riches in life. Now, not that riches are bad, riches are not bad. We rejoice when the person is, the Lord has given him the privilege to handle more riches in life. But the heart starts to go. Suddenly, with the riches become more mobile, start to go for more holidays. Then certain telltale signs starts to come up that the heart may not be as how it ought to be with regards to the profession of faith. Firstly, my personal holiday before church camp. My personal holiday before areas of service. My work is more important than church. And soon, even attendance in church is not consistent. Dear friends, far too many have gone down that route. And let this warning be clear from God's word that it can so easily occur to you. I have gone through FCM with many dear friends, and I really enjoyed my time with all of them. When I see all of you, I feel young actually, because it reminded me of the young days. We are all like that, gathering here, talking with one another, having at the point of time also quite fiery. We have very fiery doctrinal discussions. We sometimes have arguments. Don't follow us, okay? We really argue from morning to afternoon to night. Until we have to be told by the camp master. Camp master here is Enren, right? So yeah, he was the equivalent of the camp master. So the equivalent of him last time will come and tell, can you go to sleep? Now it's this time already and you are still arguing. Continue tomorrow. Guess what? The next morning, once Rise and Shine get up, the conversation continues. That's how we were. Seems like we're on fire for the Lord. Everybody makes a profession of faith, and it appears to be common. Now at this age, half of my friends are gone. They're not in church. We are not even talking about being active in service, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, and bearing a good and godly testimony in life. Now, we do have good examples. Some of your deacons and even elders are fellow SCMers of my time. I don't want to tell you who, okay? They know who they are. But half are gone. That's why the book of Hebrews, what is written right here, even this simple statement, hold fast, it's actually not difficult to understand, but it's actually a very valid challenge to all of us in our lives. Start off now, and you will continue even in the future. So firstly, individually, like this. Okay, be prepared. Form your godly convictions now and know that your convictions will always be tested. And be tested until you breathe your last on this earth. So first we talk about individually. Then, now, the Bible here says also, let us hold fast the profession of our faith. Let us. So also as a community. How do we hold fast? Without wavering. Well, again, it will be tested that every generation will have its battles. For you right now, you all may have your particular battle of this generation. As I've mentioned last time, as an FCMer, like all of you, our battle was for the verbal plenary preservation of the scriptures. You all know what is the verbal plenary preservation of the scriptures? Anybody would like to summarize? Okay, I ask Clyde again. This is not because of anything. It's because I know his name, okay, and I know him personally. So Clyde, it's because I know you personally, all right? Are you able to define? And after I ask him all these questions tomorrow, he's not coming. Are you coming tomorrow?
Try.
You try, right? All right, Clyde. What is verbal plenary preservation? Okay, what's the meaning of verbal? Okay, we're talking about words, okay? Plenary?
The whole of it.
Yeah, good, the whole, entire, right? Comes from the word plane or pan, right? Panoramic, right? Have a, right? So the whole, every, right? So all the words of the scripture, the whole of scripture, and not only is inspired, but also preserved. I came in as a young Christian in FCM. I only believe in the Lord, truly from the heart, was born again in university. When I entered FCM, I was very, very happy because of all the brothers and sisters in Christ who so encouraged me in the faith. I grew a lot in FCM. I thank the Lord for FCM. And that's why it is my privilege even today to be involved in the SCM ministry. Then after that, the battle came. Starts to have splits in among the FCMers. Individually, we are all tested. Do you really believe that God's word is perfect today? That's essentially the test. It's a confession, right? By the way, this confession is now written in the constitution, right, of Kauri Pandan. And I'm not sure whether Kauri Pandan, but at least I know Kauri Pandan surely believes in VPP. There is a common confession, and the tabernacle is now, right, also worded there, right? We believe in the verbal plenary preservation of the scriptures. But then, well, the battle was very hot. We have half of the group of people don't believe, half believe. Individually, now you are tested. Uncertain times already. What exactly is going to happen to FCM? We don't know. How exactly are things going to happen among this group? We don't know. Who are my friends? Now suddenly we don't know. So individually tested. There's now uncertainty. But of course, if you know the true doctrine, there is always certainty. You just have to stick with it. But you are tested now. Will you cling on to it or will you let it go? Because there are some who will say they don't believe. You have already developed close relationship with them. We study together, God's word together in the same Bible study group. That time it was NUS Science. Now I think there's only one group, right? NUS, right? That's the NUS Science and Arts. And then lo and behold, soon it was discovered that the majority of the Bible study leaders do not believe in the verbal plenary preservation of scriptures. Majority. Now you're talking about Bible study teachers, which you have one here. Some pastors, some FEBC students, budding preachers, now they don't believe. And one day, the Bible study teacher just declared to all of us, I'm no longer going to be involved in the FCM ministry because I don't believe in the verbal plenary preservation of the scriptures. And just with this declaration, he left the group. And all of us just seated down there, the mouth dropped, the teacher just walked out the door. So, how many of you here are from NUS? Now you all have physical meetings already, right? You do with, okay, so I use Reverend Samuel as an example. I only use him because he's my friend and I know what he believes, okay? We have a common confession. So it's just in humor, alright? But it's as good as suddenly one day you walk in and then Reverend Samuel Joseph say, I don't believe in the verbal plenary preservation of the scriptures. And then he walk out. Can you imagine the kind of impact that it will have on the hearts of those who are of those of us right there who are students? The heart fluttered, even more uncertainty. And now the Bible study teacher says he does not believe. Will you cling on to the profession of faith? Then there was one, I still call this person a friend. I still hope that the person will change. She stood up and then says, I believe him. So that is what happened, right, in the FCM group. After that, we discovered that the majority of FCM coordinators, student coordinators, do not hold on to the verbal plenary preservation of the scriptures. And that's not the only compromise. We had one coordinator who took the entire FCM group out for outing to watch a film called The Passion of Christ. Now, how many of you here know what the film The Passion of Christ is all about? Maybe a different generation. Do you know? Some yes, some no. Basically, A Passion of Christ is a film that is produced by Hollywood, right, depicting all the events leading up to the crucifixion of Christ. By the way, it is produced by many who are actually Roman Catholics. It brought them to watch this depiction of the crucifixion of Christ, which may not be accurate and may be downright scandalous too. Not as the Bible study teacher did not take that group to task. And after that, there are people who actually sided with this group. Those were the battles of those days, which really test whether or not one would hold on to the profession of faith. Aren't you all happy that now is far more peaceful? But you all have your own set of, in times of seeming peace, there may be different type of challenges. But that is what we went through in those days. And we thank the Lord that there are a group of SCMers who earnestly contended our faith and held on without wavering on the profession of faith. And that is the reason why today at every FCM combined meeting, what are the student coordinators and the FCM Bible study leaders, teachers supposed to do? The Bible study teachers now, they are supposed to have what? To declare the Dinbergen Oath. Now, that is the history. This is the reason why it was implemented. Implemented during the time where the ministry was still under Calvary Tengah BP Church. You all don't remember, right? Yeah. most of you are from the time where it's back to Pandan. It was from Pandan to Tengah, then back to Pandan. And then the coordinators also were screened, made to make sure that they are responsible. They at least know some of the doctrine. They are committed to godly living before they are appointed as coordinators. Not foolproof, and we know young people, sometimes the heart may change. Even coordinators, student coordinators' hearts can change next time when they grow up. Even for now I'm talking from a teacher perspective, I've seen exactly half coordinators, went to full-time ministry, FEBC. Some very far away from the Lord now. So, dear friends, you may even be tested like this right now. And after that, when one gets older, and then there are further things that were tear at the same generation of Christians in which you grew up with. Then, now even as a minister of the gospel, right, oftentimes even as a minister of the gospel, individually you're tested, sometimes the heart bleeds also because you pray that the congregation will follow in the common confession of faith. It may not necessarily happen. So, dear friends, how are you confessing? Nobody can know what is exactly in your heart. At this point, though it be a simple one, yet it's actually the most critical one. So I now want to direct all of you to the discussion questions. Today I want to give you more time for the discussion because I want to hear from you. Because when it comes to something like this, right, how are we confessing? It's best to be done with reflection, right, from the heart. So two discussions right here. And I want you to think about it. First one is, what have we been professing in our lives at school or work? Is it the right profession? Right? So have a sincere discussion among yourselves. And if one or two of you can be brave enough to share later on when I ask you, I'll be most happy. I mean, we are all friends right here, right? I'm also young, you know, just like you're. I hope. So please share, okay? Don't be shy. We can all learn from each other. And then the second one, this is something that I really would like to hear from you. What will happen when there is no united confession among God's people? And then again, because we talk about holding on, right? Holding on without wavering. How can we ensure a common profession or common confession? These are very practical things. So I want you all to go and then ponder carefully on this. We come back, do a sharing, and then after that, I would close. And then I would also like to give a personal testimony at the end of the discussion too. I learned a very important lesson recently from family life. How important a united confession is in order to help a family. The blessing that can come out from a united confession. I hope to share with you all. So right now it's about 11:53. We, Enwen, about how long? I think would 1 hour be sufficient, or do you don't need so long? 1 hour, right? Okay, 1 hour sufficient, and then come, because I also want to hear from, based on the yesterday, we probably would take about maybe 20 to 30 minutes to round up. So come, maybe about 12:45. Let's say 12:45. So plus minus, and then after we come, come back here. I'd like to hear from all of you, and then after that we will conclude. All right. Okay. So we'll end here.